Because I believe that Jesus is already in town, but I believe he's wanting to come to town in a greater dimension that we presently see. So this is exciting, and we've hit the ground running this year in 2016, really running, and there's just an acceleration in the Spirit. And so we're on this theme, discipleship, Matthew chapter 4. We've got to read for verse 18. In Matthew chapter 4, you see the progression of the gospel, that Jesus turns up, and as he sort of does before he calls the disciples, is preach. There's no signs or wonders, because the first miracle was at the wedding at Cana, and it says his disciples were there and they believed him. So we see a progression that Jesus came preaching. He came proclaiming the gospel. Repent, turn to God, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he starts gathering disciples, as we see from Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And when you read from verse 23, it says that crowds followed Jesus. So when Jesus came to town, he came preaching, he then gathered disciples, and then he got the crowds. And for verse 23, it went on, everybody got healed, everybody got healed, all the demon possessed was set free. I'm excited to share about what next week. It's good to preach of the miracles. But before we get there, we need to see how we gather disciples, because this is the order. When Jesus came to town, this was a divine order. He preached, people got excited, they stopped believing the nonsense, they started to believe the word of God, they started to believe in Jesus. For I came with a positive proclamation, and then after that, he sort of gathered a people to him that would be his followers. So we'll read for verse 18. It says this. This has been a challenge for me this week. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. This has challenged me, it's encouraged me, it's inspired me, and it's given me rest. In the same week. Is that word spoken by Jesus as he was gathering disciples? Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Jesus is looking primarily, if I can say that, primarily for followers, that he can show how to fish for people. Why is that challenging for me? Because my primary objective isn't the end time harvest. My primary objective can't then be how to get people saved. My primary objective can't be how to strategize. My primary objective can't then be how to fill this church. My primary objective has got to be, am I following Jesus? Jesus didn't turn up and say, okay, I want you to get people saved. He turned up, and the first thing he said was, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And I have turned that round about a lot of times in my life, and you have to watch it, especially if you're a leader in ministry, that the primary objective, and it will cause you stress, it will cause you burnout, it will cause you pain, if you get this in the wrong way. If your primary objective is in how to be a success in fish for people, you have missed discipleship completely. The primary objective for every born-again Christian is never the end-time harvest. It isn't even how you get your family saved. The primary objective, the call of God in our life, was would you come and would you follow me? Would you get involved and for I'm involved in, will you listen to me? Will you spend time with me? Why do we like religion so much? Why do we like religion so much that takes out the come follow, the adventure, the journey with Jesus? It's because it then becomes for us a place of safety. Because following Jesus, you feel vulnerable. As well as excited, as well as I've got to say amazing, it hits you at the core that you feel very, very vulnerable. And this week, I felt vulnerable. Because there's no set structure or how this should look or how this is going to pan out and fit this church will look like in a year's time. It makes you feel very vulnerable, almost scared to think, I have got to be so in love with Jesus that following him is my primary concern, even though the expectation on a church or a ministry is to get the people. And the expectation on ministry and church is always to get the people, and if nobody's getting the people, then we're doomed. But far be if we made the primary concern is raising up a bunch of people that will say, I'm going to follow him, and trust that he's going to show us. It's bracken out religion, it's bracken out mundaneness, it scares the life out of me. You think you've got it sewn up, you think you've got it sorted, then you find out, I've not really. We made a sign at the front door, like it or lump it, we made a sign and we kept everything out of there that was variable. So didn't I put my name on? Because I'm a variable here. Didn't I put my mobile number on? I'm a variable. Then I put on in ministry times, we can that ministry times will change. The only two sure things that will always be this church is the 6 o'clock service and the 10:30 service. That will never change. We'll safe to part on. It's 5 new, Davy. That's it. The only thing that we thought last year, this will never change. God changes it. And we've seen the fruit of it and you think, we're gonna have to change that new. If we was religious, we would never have did that. And we've never have gotten a while with it, and Ewan's wouldn't have let us do that. But it scares me. It's exciting. It's on a journey to answer the call. Come, follow me. History tells us that when Jesus comes to town, he comes and raises up a bunch of believers. He raises up a bunch of followers. They have got their eyes set on him. And when that is generated, when you've got a church full of people that will follow Christ to the darkest places, that will speak the words of Christ, we have then got something to offer the unbeliever. For the unbeliever, what have we got to offer the unbeliever? If we are focuses on this, it's just about getting them in. But it's not about following the Lord. We've got nothing to offer. Then we start inviting people to just good services. You want to come to our 5 o'clock service or 10:30? Now, I would hope that most people would invite people. But imagine people came in. Unbelievers kept connected with believers that followed Jesus and was caught up in the adventure of the Holy Spirit. That was okay to feel vulnerable. That would be okay to say, we haven't got our things sewn up here. We don't care how this is going to look like in a week's time, a month's time, a year's time, 5 years' time. But one thing we do, we set our eyes on him, Jesus Christ, and we just follow him. We're not saying we live in a perfect world, but we've got our eyes set on the perfect one, and we know he can change this imperfect world. People, are we answering the primary call of Jesus Christ? It might scare you, but it should excite you to come and follow Jesus Christ, because God is raising up a people, I believe, in this hour, that he is coming to town, that people would say, I'm coming and I am following Jesus. You think of how the disciples responded to that and the things they're seeing. What an exciting world to be in. Come follow me. Okay, Phil, what a deal. I want to show you how to fish for people. And then he goes, he starts raising the dead, he starts multiplying fish and loaves, he turns water into wine. He spoke in a synagogue with authority. And somebody that was demon-possessed had to shout out. They were troubled, they had to shout, didn't I speak to us, O Holy One, Jesus of Nazareth? There was manifestations. It might scare you. But look at the journey of the disciples. Are you wanting that sort of Christianity? Come follow me, or will we settle for something that is just missional and just helping people, which is great and should be championed? But there's something that goes beyond that into the miraculous when we say we will follow Jesus. He's seen the journey of the disciples. And it didn't end there as we look as well at the journey of the Apostle Paul. He invites every one of us on this journey in our lives. Will you come? Will you follow me? And another thing is this, it says, and I will show you. That should excite us. Jesus will lead the way. Jesus is raising up a people. There's, he is coming to town. He's raising up a bunch of followers that he's preparing to show the way so that people will take in the miraculous catch of fish and see heaven expanded and the kingdom of God expanded. It should excite us that we didn't need to panic or read the books on how to save the people for dummies or saving people 101. That as we encounter him, he will show us the why to fish for the people. It's to do with trust. If we didn't trust Jesus enough, we didn't need him to do anything. We'll just go and do what we want to do. But as we follow him, we will trust him that he's going to show us how to win the people. For he's got the mandate, the structure, the power, the wisdom, the authority, the anointing to win the people. Jesus has. But if we make winning the people the focus, we will just try our best and get tired and get weary and feel like giving up. But if we would trust Jesus that it's not my strategy that's going to win the lost. It's not this church's strategy that will win the lost outside of fellowship. But God will show us, people, how to take in the miraculous catch of fish. He will raise up people. He will put people in our path. He will give the people giftings. He will speak to people. He will share his heart with people. God has got the strategy. If we would allow him and love him enough that he will show us the promises, my sheep will hear my voice. And this is the exciting journey that we are on. He is the best at winning the people. Jesus had no extreme funding mechanism. He didn't have a fancy name like Elam or FCC. He had no church building. He just raised up 12 people for unsuspecting backgrounds. He didn't start off with an army. He created an army. He had no internet or Facebook or advertising campaign. He didn't dish out leaflets saying he had came to town. But yet he moved and he fished for people continually. If there was ever an example of how to fish for people, we should look to Jesus. One man, if I didn't move within a 30-mile radius, raised up 12 people, no church building, no advertising campaign, no multi-million pound thing driving them. Yet that movement grew and grew and grew and grew and grow and grow and grow, and we can declare the day safely that he is building his church and the gates of hell will never prevail against him. So far should we look to show us how on earth are we going to fish for people? Far should we look to Jesus Christ? We should look to him and we should be excited and we should feel vulnerable and it should humble us. But we should go to him, follow him. And he says, I'm going to show you how we win the lost. Miracles will be involved. I'll come on to that next week. He showed Moses how to build the temple. He showed Noah how to build the ark, and he's showing the church how to win the lost. Each one of us got an opportunity to come follow him. But I believe God is raising up people in different spheres of influence that will show them how to win the lost in that environment if we will follow him faithfully. The best thing that I can do for my family is to follow him wholeheartedly. And then he will show them how to win them. The best thing I can do for Jacob and his class is nae to chuck him out in the morning and say, go win the lost. The best thing we can do for our kids in the church is to show them fair it is to follow the Lord and trust God that he will show them. It's vulnerable. You gotta feel vulnerable. It's nae about just putting people out there and giving them the heaven and hell message. It's nae just about that. You have to lead up to that. Nae always. Let's nae get religious. You say, well, that's wrong. You look at the life of Jesus. He turned up. He did miracles. He showed the people he loved them, that affirmed for he said that he was the Son of God. And then he asked them and invited them in. Do you believe that he was the Son of God? He's looking for followers. It amazes me that we pray for our schools, we pray for academies, that God would save them. God would raise up young people. And we think, are we ministering to the schools? We've got powerhouse. Are we going on with the puppet teams and things like that we used to? And we think, well, we're not ministering them effectively because that isn't happening yet. And yet we see God raising up teachers. And God raising up social workers. And God raising up nurses and people that works in rehab. Jesus is already there. Our kids are already at school. Our nurses are in porn again nurses. They have got an assignment, not just in the hospital to care, but it's to bring the excellence of Jesus and enhance the kingdom of God. Isabel's a nurse. She's got a natural position, which is there called by God, not just to turn up to tell people about heaven and hell, but to turn up and show the people the wisdom of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the patience of God. It says that we spread the fragrance, Mary, of Jesus Christ forever we go. For some it's life, for some it's death, it's a fragrance. You give it off, it's a spiritual atmosphere. We give off, we're born again. People of God, filled by the Holy Spirit. And God will show us the why, he'll give us the words in our day-by-day living, that if we are following him, it'll be a word in season, it'll be maybe a word of knowledge, it'll be Holy Spirit downloaded wisdom for heaven, how to deal with difficult situations. God is already in the schools. He's already in our hospitals. I'm not saying that it's wrong to go into these places as part of the church, but make no mistake, just because there's not a group of people going into these places, that God's not there and he's not going to influence there. Because I look around this room, I see very, very influential people that God has put in. And God will show you the why, through his Spirit, how to fish for people. And it's like God is getting, raising up people that will follow him. It's like chess pieces putting Abdi in position that he is going to show. Church, are we willing to follow him? Are we willing to trust him that he's going to show us? How does he show us how to win the lost? He shows us through experience. He shows us through visions and dreams, through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's just like he changes your desire. You get an unction within you just to speak to somebody. It can be very gently. It's not always hooing and hawing and things going our way when God speaks. It can be very gentle, but you're bringing that into your workplaces, into your family life, and just being a voice for Jesus in that place. When Jesus comes to town, he shows the people the strategy to take in the miraculous catch of fish. The last thing we see, we've spoke a lot about this in the past, and Tom Malone yesterday as well, last week. I just want to affirm this. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. When Jesus comes to town, he brings people together. When Jesus comes to town, he brings people that will follow him together. You see there, you see Peter and Andrew, James and John, in different boats. And he goes to Peter and Andrew, come follow me. Follow him. A little further up ashore, again, two fishermen, James and John, come follow me. Before that day, although they were in the same fishing fleet, they wasn't really fishing together. Now, I'm not a fisherman, so I might be going out my depth here. But I guess the people in your fishing fleet, although you get on with them and are friendly with them, they're also your competitors. Because the more fish is landed, the less price you'll get for your catch. Although I guess there's a friendly atmosphere doing in a harbour and ahing, there's a realisation as there's only so much fish in the sea, we're only going to get so much for our fish, that if he has a bigger catch than me, then that's got to leave me out of pocket. But Jesus brings that people together to fish for people for the sake of the kingdom. And sometimes the mentality in the Christianity too much has been friendly enough, I guess. But on a superficial level that we would see, they're also our competitors. Because there's only so much fish in the sea. And if one church is doing phenomenal, then surely that leaves not enough for us. We've just got to expose these things because Jesus is coming to town and we've got to see how he's got to bring Abdi together. And doesn't it mean just under one roof? You can have unity of faith, share the same heart, share the same vision after a miraculous catch of fish without sharing the same building. So we came to the assemblies, amazing, looking for the copy, great. So that was a 1,000-seater. If every one of that seats get filled and I pray sincerely that they do, and in a superficial level, that is still 15,500 people in the Broch. Still looking for somewhere to go. Still looking to be saved. Still needing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God is going to change things so that churches and born-again believers will not see each other as competitors, but will see each other as absolutely vital in the furtherance of the kingdom of God. James and John, Peter and Andrew, separate fishing vessels, came together to follow Jesus, and he's got to show them the strategy for the community and indeed the world. And God is raising up such a unity. It's not just a superficial level. It's a unity of faith. You can share the same building and be in disunity. I'm going to tell you that. But you can share the same heart with people and they fellowship with them on a daily basis. Do you believe that? Do we see that? And that's why it excites me about praying together. And it's not just about coming into unity for unity's sake, because that's a fine thing to do. It's a shared heart, a shared vision, that there's enough room in our buildings to save Aberdeen style, not enough room in our buildings. It's about the kingdom of God being extended. And it isn't a unity, it only costs, because you have to beware this as well. Born again is Jesus the Savior, the only Savior. Do you believe in the miraculous catch of fish? Yes. Well, let's do it together then. Because a lot of people that God has shown and gave revelation to, they drop it for the sake of agreeing with other Christians. God will never show you something in truth in the scripture and light and ask you to ignore it in the sake of coming into fellowship. That's a hard thing to preach. But you look at Jesus, he was uncompromising. You look at the Apostle Paul, he was uncompromising. And so for the whosoever that believes the same things, Jesus is Savior, he is the only way to the Father. Born again, the Spirit of Christ. We believe in moving in miracles. We believe in the miraculous catch of fish. Then let's get together, and Jesus is bringing people together that will see these things happen, and he's going to show these people the strategy and how to fish for the lost. And so it should excite us. God will bring healing. God will bring the love. Jesus is uniting brothers and sisters together as one army to see this community, to see this area and nation changed for Jesus. When Jesus comes to town, he will bring the people together. Let's stand. We're going to pray as the worship team comes up. Maybe you've lost your why, or maybe you've replaced the come follow for simply taking in the harvest, which isn't sinful in itself. It's a good heart to hear. But I will tell you from experience, you will end up in great difficulty, because God will show you that you cannot do this without him, and he doesn't want you to. While we, as Jesus comes to town, while we follow him, as Jesus comes to town, while we allow him to show us the strategy for winning the lost, and while we be willing to work alongside, to be united, to stand with them that want to see the same things, they want to see the miraculous catch of fish, they want to see salvation sweep Fraserburgh, sweep St. Combs, Belgar, Rosales, and Heaven. There are so many people that need Jesus, who need the miraculous catch of fish. It's not going to be about our agendas. It's going to be about him. And when Jesus comes to town, it's always about him. You read it through history, you read the revival books. It's always about him. But he always does this three things. He always raises up people that will follow him. He always gives people the strategy to win the lost. And yes, it's vulnerable. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it humbles us. But it should excite us that God will show us and speak to us through his Spirit. And he'll bring a like-mindedness, a unity of faith within churches. That instead of seeing each other as well as that, we're competitors. No. That's our brothers, that's our sisters in Christ, and we want to see the same things. We're willing to work together to see people saved. Because we know that God is a good God, but one day Christ is coming back. And now the preaching will be finished, and now the church buildings will be finished. The only thing that will remain is them that have accepted Jesus and them that hasn't. We got to see the bigger vision. We got to see the clearer picture. I'm just going to pray and ask. Maybe you've lost your first love. maybe you've lost your first love. And ask this morning, you want to come back to your first love. Come back to that place when you mark up with Jesus, that you mark up with following Him. Just as we worship, I'm going to ask that you just respond by coming forward. God sees your faith already. He sees your heart. He sees your struggles. He sees your pains. He sees your distractions. And how often you get distracted with stuff, yet He loves you. And He wants to fill you with the fiery love of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. He wants to empower a love that would be about Him. He gives a strategy and a unity of faith to win the lost. Let's worship Him. Before we go, let's mark our time about Jesus. Let's focus our attention on Him. But if you specifically want prayer for this specific calling, then come forward as we worship.